This briefing is sponsored by Deloitte. Business process with less process. See what's possible when data and automation come together to help reinvent workflows. Visit Deloitte.com/US/onlyseepossible.
This is your tech news briefing for Wednesday, January 29th. I'm Kateri Yoakum from the newsroom of The Wall Street Journal in New York. A host of tech companies are posting their earnings this week, starting with Apple. The tech giant released its fourth quarter earnings on Tuesday night, including record revenue and a return to profit growth. Reporter Trip Mickle will join us to explain the details in a minute, but first, let's check some headlines. The Trump administration has been calling on its allies to boycott Huawei over security concerns, but this week the UK gave Huawei the green light to build part of its 5G network. After investigating, Britain's National Security Council said that the risks posed by Huawei could be managed, but the company will only be allowed to build non-critical parts of the UK's 5G network. It's a setback for the Trump administration's efforts to clamp down on the use of Huawei products, and the move could embolden other countries to follow suit. Germany is expected to make a decision on Huawei products later this year. High-level autonomous vehicle technology sounds like the future, but consumers might not want to pay for it right now. A new survey from Alex Partners found that customers are willing to spend just 8 to 24% more for advanced technology than was already available. It's not a great sign for the industry, which is funneling billions of dollars towards developing self-driving cars. And the parent company of Tinder, Hinge, and Match.com is getting a new leader. Match Group CEO Mandy Ginsberg announced on Tuesday that she's stepping down, citing challenges in her personal life. Ginsberg had spent 14 years at the company and was promoted to CEO in 2017. She'll be replaced by the company's current president, Shar Dubey. Right now, Match Group is a subsidiary of the media company IAC, but the news comes just months before Match will be spun off into its own company. Amazon, Tesla, and Facebook, those are some of the major tech companies scheduled to report their fourth quarter earnings this week, all coming after Apple. Reporter Trip Mickle will give us the details on its earnings report and what it can mean about the company's growth strategy. That's after the break.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why they've created Eno, the Capital One assistant that catches things that might look wrong with your credit card. Eno catches overtipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, then sends an alert to your phone and helps you fix it. It's another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One. What's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
As we've talked about this week, last year Apple looked to be headed for a slump. iPhone sales were sluggish, analysts were worried about slowing demand in China, but instead, investors got one of the biggest one-year stock rallies in history. Apple's share price has more than doubled, adding over $725 billion to its value. That is more than the total value of Facebook. Apple released its fourth quarter earnings on Tuesday, and our reporter, Trip Mickle, who covers Apple for the Journal, joins us to talk about what we learned. Trip, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so what did they report? Did it compare to expectations?
It exceeded expectations. Apple was lined up to report record revenue and record profit, and it did both. It actually fulfilled the expectations of analysts, and then it actually, you know, went even beyond that and projected revenue in the current quarter that would be another record. So after a year of really sluggish results, it seems to have turned the corner and charted a new path forward.
So tell us a little bit about what contributed to this rally and also this great earnings report from the fourth quarter.
In the throes of last year, when Apple was really dealing with this iPhone slowdown, the company emphasized its services business, and it held a big event in March where it talked about a new TV video service it was going to launch, a new news service it was going to launch, and a new video game service, plus a credit card. All of that came later in the year, and it shifted investor attention and really, you know, the collective Apple customer attention to Apple as a services company. Everybody had to think about it differently, and what we saw in this quarter, as we saw in the previous quarters, is it's delivering more and more revenue growth from the sale of those types of services, and that's helping the company and its business.
I think it's really interesting. I mean, obviously, we talk about tech companies as service companies a lot nowadays, I think it's really important to remember that Apple was a computer company, and then it became a computer and phone company. That's a major shift, right?
Yeah, they're kind of the old school company on the block in Silicon Valley, right? I mean, they came along way before Google, way before Facebook. You know, the only rival of theirs that, you know, has the same history as Microsoft. And so for Apple to move into services, it's different. You're right. They were a computer company, then they were the iPod company and computer company, then they were, you know, adding the iPhone into it and really became known as the iPhone company because it was such a successful product, and launched the iPad as well. So what we're seeing now is just a new and different phase for Apple.
What do you think? I mean, we saw them really lean into services. Are we going to see them lean away from those core products as well?
The thing about the services business is it only works so long as the iPhone business remains healthy. Essentially, what Apple has done is it said, we have one of the largest distribution networks in the world. We have 900 million iPhones around the world. Instead of just selling those customers new iPhones when they need a replacement, let's sell services across those iPhones, and that's what it's doing. So for that to work, it needs to continue to maintain that healthy iPhone customer base, and that means making good and, you know, appealing iPhones in the future as well.
And I mean, that I think that raises a really important question. I mean, for years, Apple kept raising prices on its iPhones and basically selling them for what was the price of a computer. And offering them as a computer in your hand in order to continue to generate those new generations of users. Is their strategy around their iPhones going to change?
It's certainly shifting right now. What we saw last year was a reduction in iPhone prices. That's not something Apple's known for. You know, lowering prices isn't something it does a lot of. And with its iPhone 11, which was an update to the prior year's XR iPhone, it dropped the price by $50. The bet it was making was, you know what, if we cut the price, maybe we will sell more of these iPhones than we would otherwise. We may make less money on each individual one, but collectively we'll make more. And that's actually what looks like happened in the December quarter. You know, that strategy of lower prices paid off. And in the long term, that may help, to your point, keep that iPhone customer base healthy and keep people coming back to buy more iPhones and then buy more services. And it kind of feeds on itself.
You mentioned the new Apple streaming service. Do we get any idea about the subscription numbers for that service?
You know, that's the one thing we still don't know. Apple put a lot of emphasis on these services last year. It held a big keynote event at the Steve Jobs Theater. It talked a lot about them. But in terms of how many subscribers it has for any of those services it announced in March, including TV Plus, we don't know where that stands. You know, at this point, like, the most we know about it is they got a Golden Globe nomination and Jennifer Aniston won a SAG award. We know about the critical acclaim, but we don't know how many people are viewing it, and certainly not how many people are paying to view it.
And it's not just the streaming services. What about their new credit card and video game services?
The credit card was introduced in August of last year. Same thing. We don't have a lot of visibility into how it's done and what the adoption rate's been. And same with video games, and same with News Plus, which was a service for magazines and newspapers, including the Wall Street Journal, that's a monthly, you know, payment option in order to get that content as well.
I want to touch on something seemingly a little bit unrelated, but very related, obviously, China. The country's weak economy has been undercutting smartphone sales. We saw that a year ago. Now we have a lot of concerns with the coronavirus, that manufacturing employees there won't be able to return to work. I know we have really great fourth quarter sales numbers here. What kind of an impact could that have on Apple heading into the first quarter of 2020?
First, the good news. In the previous quarter, in December, Apple returned to growth in China. That's the first time in a year that it has seen sales growth, which is positive for the company. Second, you know, the more concerning thing globally is the spread of this coronavirus and questions about how that will affect Apple and others that operate in the region. Tim Cook said that Apple has alternatives to its two suppliers in the Wuhan region that are at the epicenter of this virus, and should be okay with its supply chain, although it's coming up with plans in case there are production challenges. As far as its retail operations, it has curtailed some of its store operating hours. And, you know, we'll just have to wait and see how that affects the company broadly. He did say that Apple took that into account when it set its revenue guidance, and obviously it guided for a record quarter. So it seems like even if it faces trouble in China around this outbreak, it will be okay and its business will continue to deliver.
I guess my final question, and kind of goes back to the beginnings of Apple, the Apple computer, the Apple iPhone. Those were also very much focused on design, and Steve Jobs was really the leader of that. Has the company structure and power structure in the company changed at all as we're seeing these subscriptions and services become more important?
We saw a lot of change at the top of Apple a year ago. We saw Johnny Ive leave. We saw Angela Ahrendts, who oversaw retail, leave. Those are big departures. They don't happen every day at Apple, and they coincided with this transition. Were they a consequence of Apple shifting to services? No, but you know, anytime you have change like that, it does raise questions about, you know, the identity of the company and who is leading it into the future. Certainly, Tim Cook is putting his imprint on services and pushing the company in that direction. He was at the Golden Globes. You can tell he's invested in the TV offering that it has. Clearly, he is pushing the company to make that a core focus of its future.
All right. We'll see how it goes from here. Trip Mickle, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And that was your Tech News Briefing. Don't forget that if you like this podcast, you can rate and review us in your app store. And if you want more news about Wall Street Journal podcasts, you can follow us on Twitter at WSJ Podcasts. And with that, I'm Kateri Yoakum from The Wall Street Journal in New York. Thanks for listening.